Well, I'm joined now by Father Richard Ndjoroge from the Mill Hill Missionaries, who's actually based in Anglophone Cameroon. Father Richard, how are you?
Very well, thank you, James.
Well, look, it's really kind of you to join us. And obviously, we have a heavy heart at the moment when we look at Cameroon. We see something of an escalation. We're several thousand miles away, so it's sometimes quite hard for us to sort of get that feel of what it's like for the people, for the Catholic community and the wider community on the ground. So yeah. Tell us, give us your bird's eye view. Tell us what it's like for the people at this very difficult time.
Well, the current situation in the Anglophone part of the Cameroon is, I would say, it's a situation of fear and insecurity and fear, where every day people get up in the morning and they don't know what's going to happen, especially in terms of security, because every day they're kind of caught up between two armed groups, the state forces and the separatists, whom we call the Amber Fighters or Amber Boys. So in the middle of the day or in the morning, you could hear shooting, you know, an exchange between the two groups in the market, in the streets, in the church compound, in schools, or even a hospital. So people live in a kind of a sense of insecurity, fear of being caught up, you know, in this conflict between the two groups.
It's very sad as well to read those reports of, you know, school pupils being targeted by way of, you know, there being a boycott, and therefore in that region that the children are encouraged not to go to school. Some 1 million children apparently have been out of school for nearly 4 years. So it's our youngest members of the community that are suffering as well, isn't it?
Very much so. And I would say that's one of the most saddest part of the conflicts, because children who are very innocent in this, you know, crisis, and children who are looking for a better future through, you know, pursuing of education, they are caught up in a situation where they're very helpless. And sometimes being kidnapped from school or when they're away to school or going home. And sometimes, last year, an armed group went to a school in Kumba in the southwest region of Cameroon, Anglophones region, and seven children were killed. They were shot while in class, and 13 of them were injured. So it's a very sad, situation.
And from the perspective of a priest, I know obviously, you know, you have to be very brave yourself. Do you worry about your own life in this as well?
Very much so, very much so. I happen to be in the leadership of our society, Mill Hill Missionaries in Cameroon, and part of my duties or work would mean visiting our missions. And most of our missions, they happen to be in the region where there's a crisis. And I remember 2 years ago, that was 2018, almost 3 years ago, one of our, a colleague, one of our missionaries from a Kenyan working in the Diocese of Mamfe, just nearly ordained, a year ordained, he was killed by the state forces, completely, you know, just being in the parish and shot at by the forces. So there's a high sense of a fear and insecurity where when I'm traveling, I know that anything can happen.
And there's also surely that feeling that if priests aren't off limits in this conflict, if children aren't off limits, I guess, you know, I would say, what are we left with? But we're left with Jesus Christ, fortunately, in the middle of all this. And Father Tony Chantry from Missio here in the UK came out with a comment that made me sort of, I was a bit shocked actually, until I thought about what he meant. And it was a really good point in that the church stands in the middle of this conflict, happily in the middle. It obviously is not a happy situation. It's a tragedy. What do you think he meant by the church happily stands in the middle?
Well, I would understand that as to mean that in all what's happening, the church stands at the middle in the sense that the church on one side offers a sign of hope to the many people who are suffering and people who are fleeing their homes because of insecurity, the place where they find a bit, they find a solace and a hope or some sort of security is in the church compounds, you know, parish compounds. At the same time, the people who are suffering on the ground, they want the church to speak, you know, to speak against what is happening, engage the government forces and also the separatists, and also continue to give them hope, because it's a situation where many people have lost hope. And so the church kind of acts like a bridge between these two groups, and speak to the state forces, but at the same time speak to the separatist forces.
Do you get a sense that the faith of the people, despite these being very, very trying times for everybody, do you get a sense that their faith is still strong?
Yes, very much so. Because the only thing I would say that the people hold on at this time is their faith. Because it seems everything seems to be falling out, you know, falling by. And you would find that even though there's a high sense of insecurity, even on Sundays when people come to church, but you'll be surprised to see many churches are still full. And people would defy all odds to go, you know, to go and pray, because they feel, yes, you know, faith, their faith still, you know, gives them hope. And that's the only thing that they can hold on at the moment.
Now, there are some 750,000 people that have been displaced, that have had to flee. I know many have fled into the bush, from what I've read, and must be living a very tough life indeed. Are you able to reach the people that have had to flee?
Yes. I remember 2 years ago, I went to the Diocese of Manthe, where we have our parish, where one of our priests was killed. And it was like it's an epicenter of all, you know, what's happening 2 years ago. And so we went to this village and we found that the village was completely deserted. No one was in the village. And so the priest there told me the people were hiding in the bush. And so he took me there. We had some things to take to that. We were taking to them, foodstuff, water, and soap, you know, some humanitarian items. And I was shocked that a huge population living in the bush, no shelter, children and women all just lying in the open, you know, in the bush. And it's quite a sorry, you know, scene to see.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you able to have sort of mass outside of church in these situations?
Yeah, and some of the situations, since the Christian, they fear to come to the village just in case the state forces may come and start shooting, or the Amber Boys may come and they start, you know, shooting. So we go to the bush and gather the Christians together. I think I've done that a few times, and celebrate the Eucharist there with them. Where we are now, the church will go to where the people are. We'll not wait for the people to come to the, you know, to the parishes, but really go for into the bushes and offer prayers, morning prayer, evening prayers, and celebrate the Eucharist.
And you must also be looking after non-Christians, I presume, as well.
Yes, since in this conflict, everyone is caught up, Christians as well as non-Christians, and in some situations when the population ran to the parish for shelter, you find that everyone will come there, the Christians or non-Christians, Muslims, everyone will come there. And so, and in some situations, when they come, they don't have food, then, of course, we have to provide some shelter, provide some water, provide some foodstuffs. And then it cut across the whole group, Christians, non-Christians, and Muslims and the like.
But we see NGOs like, you know, Medicine Sans Frontières pulling out, you know, and we see that the church provides education in some cases where schools are unable to, or church-run schools obviously carry on. We see healthcare being provided by the church. Do you feel a bit on your own? Is it a situation where you need more help from outside?
Absolutely, absolutely. The phrase that the church is the center of this would also mean very much that the church, you know, is very close to the people, especially those who are kind of neglected by the state and also by agencies that provide, you know, humanitarian services. And so in some situations, you find some parishes are completely stretched out. They can't even offer basic things. And so in those kind of situations, then other agencies that support humanitarian services and humanitarian works, if they come on board to help in those kind of situations, that would be wonderful. And in some situations, of course, there are some agencies, UN agencies, that they are active on the ground, but not in all areas.
Yeah. Now, as a man of God, as a churchman, I'm not going to ask you to be a prophet. That's a little bit unfair. But what in your opinion, will change this? Because it looks like a stalemate. I mean, what can we hope for in the future to end this?
That's one of the things that we've been struggling, you know, reflecting on. And because there's a huge cry and a prayer and hope that this would come soon to an end. And there have been many starts, you know, to come, start to bring it to an end, but all these starts have faltered. But I think a kind of a genuine and sincere dialogue between the government in power and the leaders of the separatists group, if they can sit together and see, first acknowledge this, the amount of suffering people are going through, and then they can sit together and see how they can work and, you know, kind of in a give and take situation, that sincere, genuine dialogue will be the only way out of this.
Well, I have to say, I started with a heavy heart, and I still have one, having heard everything that you've had to say. But there is that hope, and I'm very grateful for you reflecting that. But Father Richard, just to finish, obviously we in our comfortable surroundings here in England and Wales, what can we do tangibly to help the people of Cameroon that are suffering so much?
I think one of the big things that you can do is to raise, to kind of give this conflict a kind of a platform where many people can get interested to know that many people are suffering and they need help in terms of engaging the government in power and maybe the separatist group to come and sit together. So apart from the humanitarian, you know, people knowing how people are suffering and they are in need and offering some humanitarian services and need the help, I think the big thing would be to create a platform where your government, for example, the British government and other big international governments, they can take interest and try to engage the government in power to try and solve this. That will be something great if that platform can be, you know, can be created, creating more awareness of what's happening on the ground.
Well, you've helped us do that, and we'll certainly carry on from our end doing that to raise this very important issue in Anglophone Cameroon. Father Richard, thank you ever so much indeed. We pray for you. We thank you for your vocation, your service. It's very humbling, actually, to be sitting here listening to all you're doing for the people. So thank you ever so much, and God bless.
Thank you very much, James, for this dialogue and for the conversation. And I hope that what you're doing will continue to bring an awareness to a larger group, you know, United Kingdom and wherever.
Amen. Totally agree. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, James. God bless.